First of all, I want to thank Caetana for a nice paper and for a nice presentation. It reminded me that my theory professor was Vasily Leontief. I don't know whether it was your grandfather or was related to you, you know, in some way. this is is an interesting paper on, obviously, on a very, very timely topic. And the paper is well written, very well described, and, you know, gives a lot of useful information. I will go over the paper, pointing out some issues, and then maybe at the end coming out with a kind of a proposal that might have some backing. Probably it will not have democratic support, so it might never see the light of the day. But the author describes the main failure of the system, and the main failure are three. One was to repeat high and growing cost of maintaining these systems. These are defined benefits, by the way. Now, you define the benefit that retirees will get, and so it doesn't matter what the contribution are. You know, you try to maintain those benefits. So this is a distinction that is very important between defined benefit and defined contribution. There are some systems that define the contribution, what you pay in, but they don't define what you get out. It depends on how the money is invested and how well it does. The second defect of the system is this ungrounded generosity due to political decision and political power of beneficiaries. I want to point out that this is not a defect of the pension system, it's a defect of democracy. And we have to realize that, you know, it's really the democratic process that is failing, because these decisions are made, I suppose, through parliament. They are voted, they are legitimate decisions, and we have to realize that you know, democracy doesn't always work best. You know, this is one area where probably it does not work very well. The third basic defect is the impact of demographics. You know, this is and growth, by the way. When the growth rate of a country change over time, and when demographic development change over time, then you have problems. You know, you have to be fair to those who designed this system, normally in the 50s, in the 60s. At the time, the rate of growth was much higher and was expected to be higher for the future. And the demographic, nobody expected that people would increase their life expectancy, as it has happened in New York in the last decade, by 3 years, and the same in England, 3 years more of life expectancy. Nobody expected this to happen at that time. So this, we may describe this as honest mistakes. And then the problem is the democratic process later on, which has not been able to correct them. So this, I don't know to whom the blame goes, to the democratic system or to the original proponent of this system. Well, the paper provides a useful description of historical origin, goes back to Bismarck. You know, what the interesting point of the Bismarck model. By the way, Bismarck and Beveridge and Roosevelt, all these are described in a chapter in my book on Goldman versus markets, you know, what I call landmarks of social protection, you know. Well, at the time of Bismarck, but first of all, Bismarck was competing with socialists, that they wanted to abolish a market economy, private property, and so forth. And so this was a response to that. But Bismarck, the retirement age was 70, at the time when people died at 40 on the average, you know. So it was not obviously over-generous system. Also, there was the contribution of the government was extremely minimal. You know, was the government really provide the bureaucrats to supervise the system? And if you look at the statistics of Germany, from the time of the Bismarck system was introduced up to the First World War, there was hardly any change in public spending, so did not have much of an impact on public spending. This, as I said, this was an interesting the description anyway of the Bismarck system. Bismarck had much influence on other countries, so other countries started to introduce a system similar to this. But we have to go to the 30s or to the 40s to get the really major changes in some of these systems. Well, there are three basic types of system of social insurance that one can think of. One is at least in intention an insurance where one expects to get back what he pays in all redistribution. You put money in, the money in, then gets a rate of return described in some way. In Sweden, for example, the rate of return is simply assumed to growth of the economy. You know, so you impute a rate of return, which is the growth of the economy, and then the people who retire get a pension back equal to the contribution adjusted for this. And another system is the system in Denmark, which is largely redistributive, and I want to come back to this later on. You give a pension which is equal to everybody, and the people, this is pension, is paid with general taxes, not with taxes on labor. And the general taxes in Denmark are not very progressive because everybody pays a huge amount of taxes. So it doesn't matter whether you are at the beginning of the income distribution or later, you pay 50% of your income essentially in taxes. So it's, you get back from the government essentially what you paid in. And one is that the private pension system, which are the pension system which exists in Chile and now in various other countries, and to some extent they exist in the UK and in the United States. Another point is that, the point that the author makes that this system tend to be very generous over time, and we have to be careful here whether they are tend generous or they are tend toward the failure, which would be the extreme case of non-generosity, you know. So it depends that for a while they may appear generous, but by becoming generous they create the seeds for failure later on. And there are many defects that the author mentioned, and they are interesting, so I want to go back over them very quickly also because Caetano did not have the time to describe them. They were, some of the defects, they tend to make labor expensive. Well, it depends again how they are financed. If they are financed through general taxes, then the labor is not made expensive. So if they are financed, whether on the employer or employee, in a perfect system, shouldn't make any difference. The labor, with the person, the enterprise, they hire labor, determines with the cost of labor. Whether they pay them in pension or they pay them in wages makes no difference to them. So this argument is valid in an economy where the system is not working well. No, they have a negative impact on the family. Less children, the better the system, the less children you have. I'm sure if you run a regression of a pension development and number of children, you bear out this. But this probably both of them are a function of time. No, so I'm not sure that really family today in today's world are reacting whether I expect to have a pension, I will have less children. You know, also because the children are very unlikely these days to finance their parents. You know. And they may reduce workers' propensity to save. Well, there's been a bigger fight over this over time. I think Martin Feldstein was also one of the first to make this argument. And if you believe that you are going to get a large pension and you are sure that this is 100%, you will get it, probably you begin to save less. And if the government does not invest the money that gets in infrastructure, in real investment, but uses for pension, then the whole system gets affected. The saving for the whole system gets affected. But again, the moment people begin to have doubts that they will get this pension, then the effect might reverse itself. You know, might have the They may be a bad investment for workers compared with investment in the private market. Well, that has been the assumption up to 4 or 5 years ago. And that has been the assumption outside of Japan. In Japan, 20 years ago, the stock market was for 40,000, I think. Today the stock market is 10,000. So those who invested in the private sector got a rate of return which was widely negative. So it's not quite sure that really the rate of the return investing in the private sector would not automatically really be better. And if the system is as generous as it is argued to be, then for sure that is even more doubtful. You know, after the big crisis of the last 4 years, you know, people invested money in the market, they lost a lot of money. So I'm not sure that in the future, with the rate of return now on 30 years bond or 10 years bond, which are 1%, we can still make that argument. So it's not quite sure. They tend to be unfunded. Clearly, there are no trust funds. See, I'm totally in agreement with this. They are especially sensitive to demographic changes, yes, for sure. They tend themselves to political manipulation. Yeah, for sure. The larger the number of retirees becomes, the more powerful the force they become, the more votes there are right there. So there is a tendency. And then we go back that this is not a failure of the pension system, a failure of democracy in some ways, no? And they assume that the individual are myopic. They will not take care of their, and they will not be able to take care of, think about the time of retirement. But the assumption is that the government is not myopic. And that really is a problem, because we know that government is as myopic as the individual. In other words, so government don't make provision for the future. They don't build the trust funds. They don't invest this money. They accumulate public debt. So they all signs of myopia on the part of the government. And so the question is which one of the two myopia is more dangerous on a macro sense and on an individual sense, you know. So they force people to retire at a fixed age. Yeah, this is a major cost, I think, that the fact that 12 years ago I was forced to retire. Well, I was happy to get out, but I had to leave the fund, you know, and the past 12 years have been the most productive years of my life in many ways. So this is clearly a problem, you know, and I think any pension system should really adjust the pension, how much you get, to reflect a life retirement. But this creates problem on the other side, because in our society, we have developed many systems in the government, in public, in international organizations, where the longer you stay, the higher your income, regardless of productivity. So maybe the pension system serves from the other side of forcing people who have become unproductive to really leave without being forced to drop out. They damage private charities, you know. Yeah, probably they do. You know, in fact, in my book, Government versus Market, there are several chapters of the fact that when the government stepped in this area, crowded out a lot of private activity. Some of these failures, again, you know, they are debatable, as I said. I would have liked in the paper to see, maybe this reflects the many years I spent in the fund, where you could not have ideology. You always tend to look at both sides of issues and try to see the problem from the other side. I would have liked to see some reference to people who are not from the Cato Institute. You know, there are Nobel Prize, Peter Diamond, for example, has written extensively on this area. You know, he's one of the top economists in the world. I would have liked to see some reference to that work. You could criticize it, that's fine. But, you know, recognize that there is another side to some of these issues. Many of the assumptions are correct, but option of letting individual make their decision to save as a responsible citizen also leave me to some question, you know, because really the alternative to the government pension is either you force them to buy pension in the private sector, and you have the problem of the rate of return in the private sector, or you don't do anything. You say, well, as it happened before Bismarck, you save and you take care of itself. Yeah, I ask myself, in a democracy, if you have people who don't save, and do you let them starve in the street when they reach 65? I'm very doubtful that this will ever happen. So one way or another, the government would be left with the free riders, you know, having to take care of the free riders. Of course, this may be, create moral hazard of the other side. If the retirees know that this will happen, maybe they don't save. You know, they see greater incentive not to save. What if the financial market is not developed or transparent? For example, Madoff, the Madoff scandal that you mentioned, was this a failure of the market economy or was a failure of the government? I ask myself, what is the answer to this question? And I don't know. But clearly, the people put money into Madoff, thinking that they were saving for retirement, you know, clearly came out badly. I mentioned Madoff as being a very interesting example, but there are many, many other examples that have happened in the recent years. And what about the Chilean solution? You know, the Chilean solution, for those who may not be familiar with this, you force people, workers, to set aside a fixed amount of your salary, 10% or something, and this has to be invested in various investors who are supervised somewhat by the government to make sure that they don't take too many risks and so forth. Well, the criticism to the Chilean solution has been that these investors have become too expensive. You know, the cost of having this kind of investment is very high. They charge too much, and they become like hedge fund that they can charge you a lot if you gain. So this, I'm not sure that this is always the best alternative. Okay, where do we go here? And here I come to my alternative that I said I was going to describe in some detail. By the way, this comes from a paper that I was asked to contribute to a German magazine that is published by the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Germany. It's called the D+C, Development and Cooperation. And it was in the volume 33 of November 2006, number 11. This journal is published in various languages, English, German, etc. It's a, you know, it's a fancy little journal. But they asked me to write an article on pension. And the proposal I made is essentially very simple. I said, well, the government could guarantee to every person that reaches a certain age, let's leave it, what is that certain age, for the time being open, guarantee a minimum pension, which is really small. I mean, I'm talking about a small share of per capita income. You know, let's say 0.25%, 0.3% of per capita income. Everybody in the country that reached this allowed retirement age can get this pension. And this pension is financed of general taxes, not financed by contribution. Retirement age is a fixed proportion of life expectancy. So if life expectancy changes, the government, let's say, has decided you are allowed to retire when you reach 90% of your life expectancy, of life expectancy in general. So when you reach that point, and it's adjust automatically over time. The pension adjusts automatically to per capita income, at the last per capita income. So and you could add also an adjustment in the pension, the amount of the pension, by allowing retirement earlier or later than that life expectancy. So this would be a system that would go a long way to guarantee an absolute minimum income of the type of Friedman, let's say, negative income tax type, to everybody. It would not distort labor market. And if people want to accumulate assets beyond that, then you go do your way, go to the market, accumulate assets, buy houses, buy shares, or what have you. This would be very, very simple. I think would be in line with the market economy, with but still would guarantee to everybody, would prevent the government to have to intervene vis-a-vis the people who did not take care of themselves. Well, I think this were the main point I want to make. By the way, if you were a small country, let me add one last point. If you are Singapore, then you go the Singapore way. You know, you accumulate a lot of assets internationally. Since you are a small country, you can go see what is the best. And then on the rate of return of those assets, you create a pension at a certain age for the people. But this is a small country. Maybe Lithuania could do that, but not too many countries can do that. Well, maybe I'll stop here. Thank you very much.